I always love our hymns as we sing together. And Dr. Lockwood has such a gift of picking the right ones. We thank the Lord for him, don't we? I would like tonight for us to spend some time together with two very extraordinary, special people. And our visit's going to be short, but the story they tell is profound. It's an amazing story of blessing to two people who look to the Lord all of their life, a story of faith, a story of patience, a story of perseverance in life, two lifetimes spent in waiting and looking. The story is found in Luke chapter 2, and only in Luke chapter 2. But usually when we think of Luke chapter 2, we immediately think of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would be right. But after that, we learn some wonderful truth concerning what these two people were looking for. And so to get the context and to read a bit where we're going to be tonight, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the passage, and then we're going to pray. And then we're going to take a look at this in the time that we have together. Luke chapter 2, and beginning with verse 21. Remember, Luke chapter 2 tells us of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, the announcement of the angels, and the visit of the shepherds. And now we come to verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, who was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to them, Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There's two words I want to implant in your mind from this reading. One has to do with Simeon. The other one has to do with Anna. The word that I want to implant in our remembrance tonight in verse 25 concerning Simeon is the word waiting. The word I want to implant in our hearts tonight from Anna is the word in verse 38 that says looked. Waiting and looking. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for the joy and the delight it is for to be here tonight. We thank you for your wonderful word. We're grateful to you for this wonderful story of truth. We thank you that you have given to us the privilege of reading it tonight. And we pray that you'll help us to be as Simeon, to be as Anna, in the life in which you've given us here in this century. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who came as a baby. And we have record of some of those things that took place, that he lived as a child. And we thank you for this great story of these wonderful people that you have blessed. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to enjoy the great blessing it is to see from your word tonight what it means to look and to wait. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From verses 21 through 24 is the passage that we learn where Joseph and Mary with Jesus came to the temple in Jerusalem in the fulfillment of the law of Moses found in Exodus 13 and Leviticus 12. It is in the temple that the Holy Spirit directed this encounter with these extraordinary people of faith. So in Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 25 down to verse 38, we meet them. I want to divide it in a way. It's easy to divide it because they're two different people. But first we're going to see Simeon's proclamation, and that's found in verses 25 to 35. And then we want to look together at Anna's devotion in verses 36 to 38. After this presentation and the anticipation of Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to the temple, we learn a lot of things here about the providence of God and the sovereignty of God and how he brings events together. I'm sure you have experienced that in your own life, where you realize that certain things take place that had to be by the hand of God. And other times we don't recognize it, but here we're going to see it. The movement of the Holy Spirit in a very unusual way for the blessing of these two people as well, of course, to Mary and Joseph. In verse 25, we are introduced to this great man known as Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I found it interesting as I study names of the Bible, as I'm sure you do as well, that there was great significance in a name that was given to a child. Today we name them because we like that name. In those days, they named them because they had a particular desire for that child, or they recognized, perhaps even by the movement of the Holy Spirit, by calling this person that name, it may tag them for the rest of their life. That certainly is true of Noah. Look up sometime in your Bible when Noah was born, and why they called him Noah. You would be amazed at what is said about why Noah was named Noah. But here we have Simeon. And Simeon's name, wonderfully, means hearing. And we're going to see how important that is as we study a little bit about him tonight. Perhaps Simeon's parents had a desire by giving him the namesake that we know of, and you'll remember the story of the second son of Jacob by Leah. And also we have in our record of the Old Testament as well that Simeon was known as one of the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So the name of Simeon, or Simeon, our Simeon, has a great and significant truth about his upbringing, about who he was, and what he did in his youth. But as we come to him here, he is probably an old man. And from our passage, we learn that Simeon was very special by these special words. He was righteous. Now, your Bible might say just. It also has the meaning, of course, behind it about his relationship to God. And that's what tags him right from the beginning. What a wonderful way to be known by somebody. It would be great to be known as a righteous person. And that was true of Simeon. The same man was righteous and devout. From our passage, we learn that Simeon had also a gift of prophecy, a sense of God's blessing on his life in a very unusual way. But the word righteous or just is there because he was right before God. Not by his own efforts, of course, because Simeon knew and trusted in the coming Messiah. And this is the thing that's important about him. He was looking for the Messiah. He believed in the coming of the Messiah and put his faith in that belief for his own personal salvation, just as you and I put our faith in the fact that he did come as well for us. And we look back, and Simeon looked forward and believed as we look back and believe. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Interesting name, isn't it? Consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Well, I enjoyed tossing that word around a little bit and enjoying a study about what it must mean or what it did mean and what I believe that it means in reference to him who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. As you can see from that word, it has to do with being consoled. But underneath it lies even a greater word than that, and that's the word comfort. So he was waiting for the comfort of Israel. What is that? You and I know comfort because the Lord said that he was going to send the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit that dwells within us who believe. It is also a reminder to us, is it not, that we are comforted based upon the same things that Simeon and what all of Israel was waiting for. And that is the comfort of God completing his work in redemption. So looking for the consolation of Israel would be understood even by them. I'm quite sure, I'm convinced that when this is said about him, they knew exactly what they meant. It wasn't something where you and I would look at and say, what does that mean? I believe they knew what it meant. That when Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel, it meant that he was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And this is the thing that's important about Simeon, because all of his life was spent in waiting for the comfort, the consolation of Israel. Remember, these people had their Bibles, the Torah, and through that they clung to the Lord. They learned and knew what God was going to do from the Old Testament. Now, I want to spend some time tonight looking at the book of Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 40, and I'd like for us to see where I believe that Simeon found the truth concerning what it meant concerning the coming of the Messiah. Now, we don't know for sure, of course, and this is only a guess, but as we consider this title, which is really a messianic title for the Lord, the Consoler, or the Consolation of Israel, we know that it has to do with the coming Messiah. Isaiah 40, I'm just going to read these. We don't have time to spend too much time in comment on it, but you all know your Bible well enough, you're going to see it just by reading it. Isaiah 40 and verse 1 through 5. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who is that? You know who that is. You know your Bible well enough, who he's talking about. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Remember, prophecy does not see valleys. Prophecy sees only the tops. And so, especially when it comes to prophecy concerning what you find in Isaiah and a lot of the other great prophets, they saw the tops of the mountains, not the valleys, not the time in between. And here, that is really true of that, because I know you see, because you know your Bible well enough, that he's talking, of course, in verse 3, about John the Baptist. And then later, he's talking about something that's not even yet occurred. And I said I wasn't going to talk about this, didn't I? Isaiah 49 and verse 5 through 7. Isaiah 49, verse 5 through 7, then I want to skip down to verse 13. Now saith the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve Israel. I also will give thee for a light to the nations, and that thou mayest be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now down to verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon the afflicted. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in this passage, I can not only hardly read it, but I don't want to stop. I want to go on and comment. I am trying to not do that. Isaiah 51 and verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. I think maybe Simeon might have read some of this. Isaiah 52 and verse 9. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Will you notice? Okay, Dennis, you're not going to do this. Yes, I am. Do you notice what's happening here? When you see comfort, you see redeemed. I think Simeon saw that. And that's why he was known as someone who was waiting for this comfort, waiting for the consolation, waiting for the Messiah. Isaiah 66 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. Where? In Jerusalem. The consolation of Israel, a messianic title given to our Lord Jesus Christ, and which Simeon was looking for. Now back to Luke chapter 2. As we look at this wonderful passage here about this man, we also find in verse 25 something very, very significant. Please don't miss this. A devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel, and here it is, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. If I went around and asked each of you tonight, explain the Holy Spirit, you would go, I can't. But yet we turn to the Bible and it kind of explains it to us, doesn't it? What is the illustration of the Holy Spirit? You know your Bible. It's the wind. And that's how he's explained. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it goes. But we know the effect. The Spirit is known and explained by the wind. And we about have to look at it here in Simeon's life as well, because what we learn about the Holy Spirit and him is absolutely incredible. We are here told that the person of God we know as the Holy Spirit was upon him. And I believe it means that an unusual way. I believe that it means a special revelation of a very personal nature. I believe Simeon had a long life of spirit control. What a blessed man he was, and he would say he was. We see in verse 25 that he was filled with the Spirit. We see in verse 26 that he was instructed by the Spirit. And we see in verse 27 that he was led by the Spirit. It doesn't get any better than that. Verse 26 says this. Remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. Doesn't it seem strange that with all the messianic prophecies, of all the expectations that were written in the Old Testament prophecies, that there was only a handful of people who even recognized him? They didn't know the significance. They were looking at the mountain peaks. But they missed the suffering of the Messiah for sin. But Simeon knew it. And even more significant, Simeon had a great revelation from the Holy Spirit, and that is that he would get to see the Messiah before he dies. Now, we don't know how Simeon received this revelation. I do as you do, and I look at it and say, how did he know that? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. But as we study the Holy Spirit a little bit, and we're going to look at some passages in a moment, we find how incredible this person of God is. And you know as well as I that it was the Holy Spirit that brought you to salvation. How did he do it? Spoke to your heart, spoke to your conscience. He used the Word of God. He brought you to an understanding that you needed a Savior. And because you needed a Savior, he said, here's the solution. And that's what he's doing with Simeon as well. But he's doing it in a very special way. A very special way because he revealed to Simeon somehow that before he dies, he's going to see the Messiah. I want us to look at some samples of the movement of the Holy Spirit in revealing and in saying and in hindering. And we don't even know how he did it, but we know that he did. And let's look at the book of Acts. That's where we're going to find a lot of the movement, of course, of the Holy Spirit. You remember the book of Acts. Right at the beginning of this great book is the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 13 is the first. We could look at many of these. We just don't have time. But I want us to see these tonight in Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 through 4. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch of and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now notice this. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas, to Saul for the work unto which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being set forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. How did he do it? We don't know. That just says that it did. Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Now when they had gone through Perga and to the regions of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And they were come to Mysia. They attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit allowed them not. Forbidden? Said? How did he do it? It's not explained. He just did it. And they knew that he did it. And that's what was happening to our beloved Simeon as well. Turn to Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, and he said unto them, You know from the very first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and trials which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you that I've shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. The movement of the Holy Spirit in the life of Simeon is an incredible part of Simeon's life. Turn back to Acts 2. These are great samples, and we could see more of them, but it gives us an example, I think, tonight of what is happening in Simeon's life. This great promise that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. Look at verse 27. And he came by, Luke chapter 2, and he came by the Spirit, into the temple. Accident? Of course not. Accidents don't happen to us. Providence leads our life every day. And whether there's good or bad in our sight, God leads us. He guides us. He orders the circumstances. And sometimes they're bad. They seem bad. Why did God do this? And sometimes we don't know, and we never know. But he knows what he's doing with us. And he orders our life. And he did this as well. He brought Mary and Joseph with the baby into the temple at the very time in which Simeon was watching and waiting. Now, he probably watched and waited for that for many times. I would guess that Simeon had gone to the temple many, many times looking for the Messiah. And look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. Now we have a blank. I want to try to fill in that blank in a moment, but notice verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Can you picture Simeon approaching Joseph and Mary? What did he say to them? Wouldn't you like to know what he said? He walked up to Joseph and Mary, and we assume, I would guess, that in Mary's arms was the baby, Jesus. But Simeon knew that this was the Messiah, and he somehow convinced them. Maybe the Holy Spirit was working in Joseph and Mary's heart. We don't know what happened here. But the thing that's so wonderful about it is that they easily and quickly handed the baby over to Simeon, and he picks him up in his arms. Isn't this an incredible story? Would you do that to a perfect stranger? Give over your baby to someone? The Lord was working in the life of all of them. That was for the great blessing of this man of God who was looking and waiting for the Messiah. What a joy it must have been for our dear Simeon. Can you imagine holding the Messiah in your arms? I mean, it's one thing to have seen him, but he held him. And no wonder he says what he does, and I love it. It's wonderful and powerful, and I wish I could read it the way it really happened. I wish I could express it as we read it the way it really happened. We'd like to have been there, wouldn't you? Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. That phrase, bless God, is an interesting. Of course, we're going to read what he said. But usually when it says that someone blesses God, it means that they're giving thanks to God in some way. And, of course, we see that here. But immediately, Simeon knew this was the Messiah. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And he held him in his arms, and he said and began to pray, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Incredible. It's amazing. You know what I get emotional about thinking about this story. And then I thought about what he said. He remembered the promise that he was going to see the Messiah before he dies. And now he says, I can depart in peace. Let me ask you something. You're going to die in peace? There's only one way you're going to die in peace, and that's to see the Messiah. If you don't see the Messiah, you're not going to die in peace. And no, you may not be promised, we all wish we could be promised, that we're going to see the Messiah, that we're going to be raptured from this earth, and we're not going to die. We all look for him, don't we? You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're looking, you're waiting, you're anticipating. But I know one thing, and you do too, that no one dies in peace without seeing the Messiah. And that happened to Simeon in a very special way, a very powerful way. The words to God he knew and the love he had for the God who he knew could cry out in his heart, now I can die in peace because I've seen him, I've held him, I've experienced salvation by faith, but now my eyes see him. What a touching expression of Simeon in his extraordinary faith and what he saw concerning this baby. Verse 31, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Isn't he a Jew? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, Simeon even knew that. These people weren't dumb because they didn't have the full revelation of God. They had the Torah, and that's all they needed. And in it, they knew and understand that all nations, all tongues, all tribes was this Savior come for. This salvation is not for any one nation, but for any and all nations, any and all people who will call upon the name of the Lord. I love to read, as I'm sure you do, the accounts of what we find in the book of Revelation. Would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 9? Now, I realize that this is a far advance from where Simeon was in timeline and also where we are. Because in Revelation chapter 7, we are given the account of a multitude that will come out of the great tribulation. So we're talking of, hopefully, soon, but we're talking about a time yet to come. But I want you to notice the wording here in Revelation 7 and verse 9 and following. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, and notice this now, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne of their faces, and worshipped God. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simeon then turns to Mary. Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising against of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, we don't know what happened, but I have a picture in my mind of him holding the baby maybe up and waist or maybe out away from him and putting the child in front of his mother Mary and saying these words, expressing and embracing and giving to her the prophecy of her son. He's going to have verbal insults. The Messiah is going to be rejected by his own people, The Messiah is going to be hated. The Messiah is going to be crucified. The sword is going to pierce your heart, Mary. You're going to have grief because your son is going to die. And you're going to watch it because he's dying for your sin, Mary. And he's dying for all who will believe. So Simeon, just man, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now there's a bit of a break. A break in a sense, but yet the text tells us it was in an instant. And that break is that now we have the woman we know as Anna. Luke is an amazing book. Luke mentions 13 women that are not mentioned anywhere else in the Gospels. The New Testament includes 23 named notable women. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in his Gospel, Luke gives a high profile to women, including their central role in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He devotes 43 verses in reference to women in the Gospel of Luke. And here, beginning with verse 36, we find one of these great notable women, and her name is Anna. Verse 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity." First thing we learn about her is her name, and that name is Anna. Anna's name means grace. Isn't that interesting? Simeon's name is what? Hearing. Anna's name is grace. Is there a message there? The name Anna really is probably from the Hebrew name Hannah, the woman that we know of in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. You remember the story. Hannah's faithful praying for a child. And in time, God answered that prayer and gave to her Samuel. Perhaps Anna's parents wished for their daughter with the faith that this mother of Samuel would have. And if so, that prayer was answered, because we see that Anna was a woman who had great faith. We're told that she is a prophetess. The Bible mentions other women who were known as prophetess. One of them was Miriam, and you remember her story. Miriam, the sister of Aaron. This title refers, though, to a woman who spoke God's word. She was a teacher of the Old Testament, not probably a source of revelation, but nevertheless used of God to teach his word. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel. And the most thing we learn about her is how old she is. I think that's interesting, don't you? Here at the end of verse 36, we are told that she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years who departed not from the temple, served God with fastings, prayers, day and night. We find that she had lived 7 years with a husband and had been a widow for 84 years. And so if she is married at the marriageable age in those days, God help us, of 12, she could not be any less than about 103 years old at this time. This old woman who devoted her life to the temple and its service, as we see what is said about her in the latter part of verse 37. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Does it sound like something familiar to you? We've been studying 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul instructs Timothy concerning widows. Remember verse 6? "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." Anna was a widow indeed. And this great widow had a clear message, just like Simeon's. She spoke of the Messiah. And I love verse 38. "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord," as Simeon did, in other words, "and spoke of the Messiah to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem." You see what she's doing? She's pointing to the baby and saying, here he is. Here he is. This is the Messiah. Look. You've been waiting for him. Here he is. The Holy Spirit was active in these people's lives. Active in a promise to not die without seeing him. Active for this woman who spent her life in anticipation of the redemption in Jerusalem. You don't need to turn there, but I want to close tonight with the words from a book of the Bible that we almost never speak from, and that's the book of Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 3, and verse 24 to 26, we have these wonderful words. Listen to them carefully. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto those who wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Savior? Then I invite you to join us at the table in just a few minutes and remember him. Remember the Messiah who came, gave his life for us. Maybe you're not here with the knowledge of the Messiah. I hope that each and every one of you here tonight is like Simeon, waiting. Or like Anna, who was telling others, look, here he is. But perhaps you're not a saved person tonight. So I would ask you, don't take the Lord's Supper. I would ask you to do something, though. Will you come and talk to me after the service? As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to embarrass you. I will sit down with you some private place and show you from the Scriptures how you can come to know Christ as your personal Savior. It's there. I found it. Most of us here have found it. But maybe you're here tonight, you don't have any idea what it's like to wait and to look for the Messiah. Are you doing that tonight? Am I doing that? You know what? He's coming back again. He's coming again. Next time, not as a baby. He's not coming as a baby next time. He's coming in one of two ways. He's either going to come as your Savior or he's going to come as your judge. Which one is it? If you are not waiting for the consolation of Israel, if you are not looking for the redemption that he brings, then he's going to come as your judge. I can guarantee it. Is he coming as your judge? Or is he coming as your Savior? And I think tonight we can rejoice, those of us who do know that he's coming as our Savior, that perhaps it's going to be very soon. Wouldn't you be like Simeon? Somebody whisper in your ear, Dennis, you're not going to die before you see the Messiah coming, the rapture. It's going to happen before you die. Don't we all wish that? None of us want to die. God has put into our heart a desire to live. That's why when you're sick, you go get help. Because you don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. Even if you know Christ is your Savior, you still don't want to. Because God put that in your heart to preserve your life. We don't give up every time we get injured or sick. We try to do something about it. Even though we know our destiny is sure and everlasting. But God has put in our heart a desire to live. But how are we going to live after we die? That's the issue, isn't it? The issue is like Simeon, like Anna, who are waiting and looking for the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Thank you that he came the first time. And the joy and the delight that was in those who knew him, such as these great people that we've looked at tonight. Thank you for them. Thank you for putting it in your word. We needed to hear this. But Lord, what we really need to know is if there's anyone in this auditorium tonight who is not looking for the Messiah because they don't know him as their personal Savior. I pray that if there is that person here, you will bring them to a knowledge of who he is and what he is going to do. And what he has done. And as we come now to the worship of remembrance of what he did in giving his body and his blood. We pray that you'll help us in our heart to worship the Messiah. Oh, how we wish that we could have held him in our arms. But Lord, we know you have something more marvelous than all of that. And that's where we're going to be able to spend forever, forever with him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.